show.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Thursday evening edition. Evening here, at least. Darkness has fallen over the hills and hollers of what's left of wonderful West Bicod, Virginia. We've been hearing blasts today, a couple of them in the 4 o'clock Eastern time hour. Just another day in the war on working people here in the hills. And I've got, I hope I get the opportunity in the program. Your conversations, of course, always come first. But I hope I get the opportunity in the program to talk, to play a little bit for you and just offer you a little bit of thought about the segment, and several of you sent it to me, that Rachel Maddow did on her program last night about clean coal. And I am glad the issue is getting the attention that it deserves. But we need to get Rachel down here. There's nothing wrong with wherever it is you live, but it's clear that just as is the case with many people who think that, cow meat comes from the meat case at the grocery store. You know, what little cow standing in knee-deep in caca? No, it comes from the grocery store. Well, it's the same thing applies in the clean coal discussion to the idea that somehow or another, if you can just clean up what happens when you burn coal, that somehow you've created clean coal. And maybe we'll take a run at that fairly quickly. This all does kind of tie together. God, there's so many wonderful things to get at. Well, wonderful, disgusting, revolting, horrifying. You know what I mean. This is a red meat kind of evening. And, of course, we'll pay for this, Christmas week after Christmas when there's nothing there. And I'll probably wind up reading Shakespeare on the air. But, I'll be here to read Shakespeare or whatever it is you want to do. So let's start off. Oh, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Oh, here it is. Here it is. Let's start off with some genuine wing nuttery. What do you say? And, of course, if you want wing nuttery, where do you have to go? Well, of course, you have to go to the Fox Network.
None of this existed in the United States of America back then, 20 years ago, whatever it may be. What's changed?
What's changed is the whole politically correct environment that we live in. I'm all for people to have their rights of free speech. Just don't choose December 25th to do it.
Well, don't be...
Huh? What's Edith, sir?
That, by the way, is Gretchen Carlson, apparently Mother Carlson's great-granddaughter from WKRP, as far as I can tell. You're not, and I think the upshot of all of this is that you're not allowed to be an atheist on Christmas. Right?
Disrespectful. You can have freedom of speech without being disrespectful. All those atheists had to do, and he said this before, is put up a sign of whatever they wanted to put up. If they want to put up Charles Darwin to celebrate evolution, put them up. Bill Maher to celebrate we don't like religion, put Maher's picture up there. Whatever they wanted to do, you know, they could
but
do.
But they put up that they believed that organized religion was a myth and that it enslaved minds.
Right, it's bad.
And that got my goat. But what really got me was today.
Did these two idiots understand that they're proving the point? Or is... Do you have to check your sense of irony at the door when you work at Fox? I don't know.
Hey, when they wanted to do Festivus, give me a break.
Well, this is a mocking of Gregoire, what that is. I'm not mad at the Festivus people. Was there a goat, by the way? And I didn't see
it got my goat.
I saw the sheep.
And what does she do with the goat? But never mind.
I didn't see the goat.
No, to me, that was the final straw today. Because, Bill, what is going to be next?
What's
going
to be next is... In our secular progressive society, they're going to try to revoke the federal holiday. You wait and see.
Not so much, Billy. Not quite. No, what's next is not the revocation of Christmas. And so far, I haven't seen anything. No action alerts from the American Family Association. Sorry. No fulminations from Focus on the Family. Uh-uh. Nope, not a peep about this. Aw, damn it, I hate it when that happens. Yeah, that's Adeste Fidelis. You know, this is interesting. If you go over to the website, and I'm not going to tell, if you go over to the website where they've got these little singing turds, or lumps of coal, well, kind of same difference now, isn't it? These little bouncing, singing lumps of coal, and you get to, this is the fun part, you get to choose the background, too. And so when Agnes and I were first looking at this, there's a background that shows a palm tree swaying in the breeze and a white sandy beach and the water lapping at your front door. And I said, look, honey, with global warming caused by clean coal, that's our house in another 100 years. Don't sell that. Make sure Loney and Jasper don't sell the property. We got to tie it up in the will somehow. This is going to be beachfront property. So that's what, But anyway, now yesterday when you went in there, you could choose what you wanted the little lumps of caca to sing. Whether it was Frosty the Coal Man or Abundant Affordable, which you just heard, or Oh Technology, Technology, or Deck the Halls with Clean Coal or Jingle Bells, or Silent Night. Guess what? After Rachel Maddow focused on this last night and made mention of it, Silent Night has disappeared. Wait a minute! We're gonna offend the fundies? How stupid is a coal whore anyway? I mean, they lost Silent Night, but they kept Adeste Fidelis. Hold on just a minute. Let's check out that song just to... I don't know even know if this is going to play right. It may be all click and poppy. It's a very worn-out disc. But let's check this here just to see if we can see what the lyrics are all about.
Come triumphant, O come, O come to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
That's what I thought.
Adoremus, venite, adoremus, venite, adoremus.
You know, it's always nice when you've got to really drill a point home, when you can do it through the good graces of none other than Nat King Cole. That man could sing the directory of the American Family Association, and I think it would still raise the hairs on the little back of my neck. Yes. Yes. Of course, he's long gone, and what a loss. But even for somebody who doesn't buy into the hokum, I get tears because
maybe it's just me, that's the soundtrack of my childhood.
That's what I heard, that and the Johnny Mathis Christmas album, every Christmas when I was little, on a record player that was not stereo. That had the tall spindle for stacks of 33 and 3rd albums. For the younger listeners in the audience, I realize I've probably already lost you, and that sound like I'm doing my geezer thing at the home. But stuff like that brings back. I can smell the cakes baking. I can see my sister mixing up the paint for us to paint and decorate the Christmas cookies. This is real Jimmy Stewart stuff, okay? And the friends of Cole, the fiends of Cole, are so god-awful sleazy that they will make a mockery of a hymn about the birth of their God. And turn it into something as nasty as this.
Affordables, purely our country, clean coal is the source we depend on for power.
Now wait just a daggum minute. Clean coal is the source we depend upon for power? Whatever happened to there's power, power, power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. What the heck ever happened to that? No. The power doesn't come from the blood of Christ anymore. It comes from little, tiny, multi-million-year-old compressed piles of dead vegetable matter and dinosaur poo. Because, you know, there had to be some dinosaur poo in the swamp, and, you know, when the pressure gets it, that's what coal is.
and all is quiet from the War on Christmas crowd. Not a word out of John Gibson, nary a peep out of Bill O'Reilly. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. From the American Family Association, the Focus on the Family, none of them. None of them. Because they're just like they pick and choose which parts of the Bible they will take literally, they pick and choose which things are heresy and which aren't. Let's see. I had a great email today from our buddy Tosh. I got to see if I can find this real quick. He pointed out that at one point in time he had mentioned to a fundy that he knew that back in the Old Testament there, where they're giving out all the laws and so forth, fetuses aren't human lives. That, in fact, the law says that if you kill a pregnant woman, you just have to pay off the other side. They don't drag you out at the city gates and stone you to death like they do for wearing a polyester Dacron cotton blend or having a shrimp cocktail. Nah, you killed the pregnant lady. Just pay the guy. So that's where we are. That's where we are this Christmas. That's where the War on Christmas is. Although, you know, they did take down the sleazy little heresy of Silent Night. Disgusting. So let's do just for a moment, move over and check out it, what went on with Rachel Maddow last night. I feel the need to share this if you didn't see it already, and let you see exactly what it is that I'm concerned about. On the one hand, I'm tickled to death that this organization is out there running these ads all over the country about what a nightmarishly sick little marketing ploy this clean coal business truly is. On the other hand, however, we've got to get a little bit better with our talking points, because they're conceding ground that they don't have to concede and, frankly, ought not.
President Bush may no longer be a man on a mission, accomplished or otherwise, but he is a man on a deadline, just 40 days to get lots of stuff done. Got to pack his things, gas up the U-Haul, and try to salvage his legacy. You know, reselling the whole preventive war, let's invade Iraq idea. Oh, and he's got to rush through all those anti-environment rules. That's why we present the Rachel Maddow Show's Lame Duck Watch, Quackitude, because somebody has to do it. First, some good news. Today, the Bush administration's EPA finally gave up its 8-year campaign to dial back air pollution restrictions on coal-fired power plants. So, coal industry, zero. People who breathe air, one. But remember last week when the EPA ignored its own study and decided it's actually just fine to dump coal mining debris into mountain streams? They just decided.
Okay, point one. Rachel, dear, I love you. It's not debris. It's waste. It's things like selenium, and I know that you're plenty smart enough to know what selenium is and how toxic it is. It's profound poison. It's burying of headwater streams. And granted, you know, she's dealing with commercial television, so, you know, she's limited in what she can say. It's, you know, she doesn't have the freedom that I have and that you have here. But still, words matter. It's not debris. Debris is like what happens on Christmas morning after you've opened all the packages and there's paper all over the place and cardboard boxes and little twist ties from where you fought like a demon to get Barbie out of the box before your daughter started screaming. Oh, sorry. Did that part come out? My bad. Little internal monologue part. But it ain't debris. Oh, dear, there's some debris over there. No, it's waste. But anyway.
That doesn't violate the Clean Water Act? I guess that sort of means coal mining industry 1, people who like water and valleys 0. But despite enjoying favorite son status at the White House, the coal industry is still fighting for the hearts and minds of the American people. Their newest weapon of choice in the epic PR battle aimed at convincing America that the act of burning coal to make fuel is somehow clean? It's a choir of singing lumps of coal.
But we know they're not really singing. We know what coal is. So eventually, Rachel will bring on to the program a gentleman from the advertising blitz that is attacking this clean coal myth, and he's got most of it right.
Where are all those War on Christmas people when you need them?
Amen.
Joining us now is Brian Hardwick, who is a spokesman for the Reality Coalition, a cooperative effort between several environmental groups. Thanks very much for coming on the show tonight, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Rachel.
First things first, I got to ask you, what is clean coal?
Well, clean coal is an oxymoron to start with. It sort of reminds you of when the tobacco companies used to say healthy cigarettes. What you said, it's a marketing ploy by the coal industry to try to convince people that that coal is somehow clean, despite the fact that it is the dirtiest way that we produce electricity currently in the United States, and the global warming pollution that it puts out, that coal puts out, is equal to what cars and trucks put out. So it is just that. It's a bad marketing ploy by the coal industry.
I am struck.
Where does the coal come from? Just curious.
So by the PR strategy of, and granted, this is a web campaign that we are highlighting here because it made coffee shoot out my nose when I saw it this morning when I logged online and heard about it.
You and me both.
Yeah, but what strikes me here is that this is a PR technique that is aimed at the American consumer. This is broadly trying to make Americans like the idea of coal and feel cuddly about it. Is this...
Please, it's a language thing. Please, homeland and consumers, and no, the American people, the American citizens. Just saying, sorry. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm probably being a little overly sensitive here, but I can't help it. There was blasting near my house today.
Part of a broader PR strategy by the coal industry?
This one I don't really understand. I mean, this one is truly bizarre. The part I love about this this web game is that you get to dress up the lump of coal, like with a scarf or a hat. But the problem is, no matter how you dress it up, coal is not clean today in America. The reality is that it is the dirtiest way we produce energy. And
wait. Okay, we've got a little problem here, and that is that. It's not just not clean now, it's never gonna be clean. Never, ever, ever. You can't extract it cleanly. It cannot be done. Okay, but rolling on.
Our campaign at thisisreality.org is out saying, hey, look, let's just talk about reality. And reality is that it doesn't exist today. And we want to let the American people know that those are the facts.
Well, if you go to Barack Obama's website under the heading Create Millions of New Green Jobs, one of the planks in the plan is to develop and deploy clean coal technology. You're making the case that it doesn't exist. The coal company is marketing itself as not only clean but cuddly, and the new Democratic president is using the terminology. It doesn't seem like you guys are winning the PR war against the coal industry on this.
Well, we just launched last Thursday, Rachel, but I don't speak for the president-elect, obviously, but as I understand it, what he means by clean coal technology, it would be technology that would be put in place that would capture all of the carbon pollution from coal-burning power plants. And we would agree with that. That'd be great if coal could do that, but the bottom line is today it's an illusion, and given what the scientists tell us about the threat of global warming and how urgent the climate crisis is, we can't afford to create an illusion for the American people and hang our hat on an illusion and make it seem like coal is going to be part of our energy future.
Let's see. Rachel, I think you're on the air right now. You're probably on the air with Air America doing your radio thing. And that's cool. But if I could figure out some way, I'd try to call in and just help a little bit. Making coal clean has nothing, well, not nothing, but you can't, it can't be done. And we cannot concede ground. Well, you know, someday we may have the technology that limits all the emissions and captures all the carbon, and, well, that'd be nice, and clean coal, yeah, that'll... No. No. No, 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 no. You know, I can't speak for him or anything, but I bet you the fine folks at Southwings would be more than happy to fly Rachel Maddow over over, you know, Kayford and a variety of other mountaintop removal sites. I bet you Larry Gibson would welcome her with open arms and take her right to Hell's Gate and say, "Honey, tell me how this is, how anything that comes from this is ever gonna be clean." Not that I'm yelling, because I really, really like her. But when you're dealing with the right, when you're dealing with corporate America, when you're dealing with people who think that I and the rest of my brother and sister Appalachians don't matter, that what happens to the coal after they've blown up the mountains, that part can be cleaned up and that will constitute clean coal. Well, I gotta call that out. 'Cause I know. Now, I'm not gonna sit here and pontificate about, what's right or what her world is where she lives. So please don't write me off. Don't write off the children at the Head Start Center in my hometown who have a bullseye drawn on their building because of mountaintop removal. Don't do that. We're Americans too. We pay taxes. If you cut us, do we not bleed? If you wound us, do we not cry out? We're Americans too. And I don't care how many carbon capture and trade or cap and trade or tax the tax swapping the sequestration funded liquid coal garbage deals you put out there. At the end of the day, we matter just as much as anybody else in this country. Just as much as a guy in San Francisco sitting in front of a backdrop of the top of the that pyramid out there, or the Golden Gate Bridge. We matter as much as he does or they do. We matter as much as Rachel does, and her her life in New York City. We matter. Oh sure, we talk funny, but we matter. We're American. We pledge allegiance to the flag. We say Merry Christmas. We do all the right things. And we don't need our side of the fight conceding ground to the evil bastards who are killing us. It's that simple.
And we're facing such an important climate crisis. And so, he's talked to, I think President-elect Obama's talked about some money for R&D for this technology. But, the coal industry also has to step up and do it. And if they can safely capture and store all of the carbon pollution from the power plants, then more power to them. They should be part of it. But
see what I mean? How would you feel? I'm asking you, how would you feel if somebody who was ostensibly on your side went on a nationally recognized program with millions of viewers and said, as long as they can capture all the carbon, then they can be part of the energy picture? How would you feel? again, I fully acknowledge that because of where I am and where my life takes place, that I am hypersensitive to this. But my God, if they had just sold your backyard for a thin bowl of gruel, how would you feel? Is it okay, Rachel, what happens to West Virginia as long as the lights keep coming on when you flip the switch in New York City? I don't think you're that kind of person. I think you just need educating. I think you need to talk to some of the people who are residents who have to live with the fact that so-called experts so blithely write us off. I mean, damn, what do I have to do? Sing the national anthem to begin every program? Play Kate Smith singing God Bless America? What do I have to do? We count. Now, I sit here and I talk about it, but I have friends, people that I love like family, who live it to a much greater degree even than I and mine do. Mountaintop removal's fairly new in my community. But it's been an everyday, ongoing thing for a damn decade and more in other parts of this state. And we can't get any help from our elected representatives. They don't think we're Americans either. We're all expendable here. One more time. I want to give myself a chance to cut some slack here. I want to make sure that I heard this the right way.
It seemed like coal is going to be part of our energy future when we're facing such an important climate crisis. And so, you know, he's talked to, I think President-elect Obama's talked about some money for R&D for this technology, but the coal industry also has to step up and do it. And if they can safely capture and store all of the carbon pollution from the power plants, then more power to them. They should be part of it, but they ought to spend their money doing that and not on this multi-million dollar marketing effort,
which is nonetheless very exciting and sacrilegious and worthy of discussion on this program. Brian Hardwick,
right.
Spokesman for the Reality Coalition, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Rachel.
And I don't know what it would take to get a message through to Rachel Maddow, but equally worthy of discussion on her program are the lives, the hopes, the dreams, the ambitions, and the very future itself of Appalachian people. Aren't we? Or am I just sadly deluding myself? I don't know the answer. I, honest to God, don't know the answer. And I, you know, again, I don't want to be taken wrongly in this. I'm not gooning on Rachel. I'm not even gooning on the San Francisco guy out there. But dear Jesus, we just can't. Pretend that there is anything that the coal industry can do to clean up what is, you just can't. You know, there's a gallery that has mountaintop removal photos on it at headonradionetwork.com. Or you can go and look at the photos at crmw.net. Or a bunch of photos at ilovemountains.org and OVEC, OHVEC.org. Look at it. Pass it around. Do what you can to message the fact that it's not only just a sleazy ad campaign. Even when we talk about it and criticize it, we don't get it for the most part. Forgettable Appalachia. You know, if Rock City was a little closer to here, the sign would, it wouldn't say, you know the Rock City signs, right? You've traveled some. Hell, I think I've seen them in Oklahoma. See seven states, see Rock City. See Rock City, see seven states. If it was a little closer to here, it would be see Rock City, don't see three states. Don't see Western Virginia. Don't see Eastern Kentucky. Don't see West Virginia. Don't see, oh, that's four, East Tennessee. Because by God, we're invisible. See, just like that. We're not there. So, it's being said in the chat room, have the Reality Coalition on my show. I'd be happy to. But it's what we need then. I don't know. Maybe we could educate them on the program and send them back out. But it's kind of hard to unring a bell, isn't it? We've already given up ground. We've said to liberals. You know, it's not like the nonagenarian crowd that watches O'Reilly is watching Rachel Maddow too. Liberals have been told by someone that they trust that maybe coal can be clean in the future, but it isn't clean right now. You know, you can go to the website and watch it yourself. You know, she mentioned it at the front end. She said, you know, people who like streams and valleys, coal companies won, people who like streams and valleys, nothing. And I guess that's true if the coal companies, if that one point the coal companies make includes 1,200 miles of streams. Headwater streams, streams that feed larger streams that feed the rivers that drain the entire eastern United States. I don't know. I guess I'm just a little bit oversensitive. We hillbillies, I guess we're kind of used to it. Brother. Well, so that's one part of the program this evening. I promise I'll get off the coal thing. I will. Although it's hard to do. Of course, any topic is welcome anytime you want to. Anytime you want to bring it to the table. And there's other stuff to go into this evening. But I hope you understand this is, you know, if there was a guy, if there was some guy with a gun shooting his gun in the apartment next door to say where some city dwelling liberal talk host lived, I would think that would probably merit some attention. Like I said, in the 4 o'clock hour, there were two monumental thunderous blasts. I wasn't standing outside to hear them. They rumbled my guts sitting here in the chair in the studio. And that's the reality, not just for me, but for thousands upon thousands, millions, frankly, of Appalachian people. It is what it is, and I hope I don't get under your skin harping on this. But you know what? I'm the only one who does. For all intents and purposes, I'm the only one who does. And you know how I feel about that. You've got to get the message out there day in and day out. You just do. Primacy and recency. fundamental rules. You've got to keep the message out there and keep the message alive. And right now, it would appear that the idea that where coal comes from is not part of the dirty coal equation is rather, shall we say, taking the day. And that's frustrating. So we'll take a little break and come back. Your phone calls, of course, like I said, always welcome. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. 304-658-3333 is the direct dial number. That's well, you can use it if you've got a long-distance calling plan, unlimited, or you want to just generally not hang the toll charge on us. It's that easy. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
Coal trains run through our veins, moving monuments to better days. That mountain stands over our darkened lungs. It's time to ponder what we've become. In his company town, it's what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down. Until the money's all drained from a company town. Yankee bosses worked us so hard for their well-dressed children and their well-kept yards. While coal camps echoed with the mournful sounds of impoverished voices from deep in the ground. Under this company town is what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down. Until the money's all drained from a company town. Round the clock was the American thing to do. Families gathered round their radios to hear FDR say we'd make it somehow in our town. Jobless faces in their grim plight, while four men and a drag line blow the mountaintop off to take its heart out. Now it knows what we've lost in this company town. It's what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down. Until the money's all drained from a company town. Until the life's all drained out of the company town.
That song is so real. Oh, my God. That's another one that puts the little makes the little hairs on the back of my neck stand up because it's so very real. Let's go to the phones real quick. Renee Louise is calling in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You got me going here with that. Actually, Rachel got me going last night with that coal thing, too. I called it online, and I'm so glad you're speaking to it. And you can never speak enough or long enough about this because people just don't get it. And the reason I called in was, as we spoke before earlier, I just want so passionately for you to follow up on this. As I said, there's nobody who could be a better advocate except for maybe Nick or Rory, the guys at Cold River Wind Mountain. I'm sorry, I got that mixed up.
That's okay.
And under time shot, so I'm like trying to get everything out at once. But you just, as I said to you, the passion that you have for it, your knowledge, there couldn't be a better advocate, and how you present yourself to go on there and get this straightened out. And it has to be. And Rachel would definitely be. I've seen her take on things when she's been wrong about them before and correct herself and take people on who will confront her. And I think it should. He should get it right out there on that program. And as I said to you, I know she takes emails at her. They put it out there that they're looking for people to email her on the show, the MSNBC show, and also on her Air America radio show. And actually, they're doing a call-in now for some through Christmas where they're giving away some sort of thing on her radio program. I know you're on air at that time, but the website, the email address, you can definitely. She has a blog as well that you could post a blog up there, and she reads the blogs, her blog as well. She reads what the people are writing there.
Well, I guess it's time for me to channel my inner activist, I guess.
Yeah, you've got it. Yeah, I'm confronting you with this. You've got it. So it's not enough for it. Like with all of us, we sit here and we talk, and talk is cheap. It really is. That's why we are where we're at. We haven't done enough. We've been asleep at the wheel for far too long, and all we like to do is complain about it, but we don't like to get our butts up out and do something. We handed the reins of our government over long ago, and it's our, you know, we've got to wake up. We have to stop just rubbing the sleep out of our eyes. We have to wake wide up right now.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly, Renee Louise, and I really appreciate you calling in. I know your time is short. But
I wish it wasn't, because I absolutely adore you. I want you to know that as well. And I'll take you over any of them who are on the tube, you know, any day.
Bless your heart.
Bless yours, too. It's a reflection of you, you know, right back to you. I love you. I love your humanity, all of you there, all of you at the network, you and Agnes as well. And I've never met one of your family members, but I have this warmth comes to my heart just thinking of them. And that comes from what you radiate. And it's invaluable. That's what this world is missing. You know, that's what we need to fill ourselves with, not with all this other material crap. Excuse the word.
That's okay. You know? I'm humbled by your words, Renee Louise. And I promise you, I'll jump on it.
I'll jump on it right after the show tonight.
I'll do it.
I hope so, because I had it. Because here, I heard you talking about it, and you're so passionate about it. I'm like, well, Bob, you can do something about it. And who better? You know, this is what we talk about, you and everybody on your show. You know. This is what we say when we talk about it. We're just talking about it. Well, now it's time to do. It's over. It's time to do. And you, I can't think of anybody better to talk about it. I really can't. You're wonderful about it.
I guess.
Hold you to it.
I guess.
Hold your feet to the fire.
I promise you, if I say it's going to happen and I say it behind this microphone, I can guarantee you it will.
I'm here to support you in any way I can. I don't care what it is, whatever. I don't know what it could be. Whatever it could be, if you need support, I'm here to support you. You know, I can support you that way. I wish I had money that I could just be throwing at you. Unfortunately, I don't at this point in time.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
Well, you know, it's a necessary evil, it seems, right? But I will support you and help you in any way you need.
Well, I'll let you. I will try to have some sort of report back on this by the show tomorrow night.
Fantastic.
And I guess I confess here. I'm a little bit jaded because I figure there's a staff there that's reading the email.
Sure, but I tell you something. You send that. That's okay. That doesn't matter. These are just excuses. You just try.
I know. I said I'm the jaded one here.
Yeah, the thing that matters is the only thing that matters is how hard we try. That's what matters. We do the best that we can. But the thing is, she's a hands-on person, too, just from listening to her. And when I've listened to her on her radio show, you actually, the TV program is great, but the radio show is much better if you want to really get get some good information and the nitty-gritty going on. And just to let you know, too, for everybody out there, she, if you go to KTLK's website, they have a podcast for free of her show.
Oh, wow.
You can listen to them. Yeah. You go to I'll send you the link to it, but it's KTLK, Progressive Talk. And there's also another another show has her podcast for free, too, another website. I'll have to get the – I don't have it off the top of my head. But you can get her podcast for free of the shows. And there, she goes much more into depth on other topics, you know, than what are just TV ready, you know, so
right.
to speak.
It's a very TV's a very limited medium. There's no getting around that.
Yeah, exactly. But that can be changed too if we, the public, change it. If we stop watching, and we, you know, that, and we start demanding other things be put forth.
Hear, 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 hear.
You know, and we've got to stop complaining about it. It's fine. I don't want to hear it. Complain, but then what are you going to do? It's about doing. So that, you know, that's all I can say here. I just, I so hope, and I know you will now, and it needs to be jumped on now because you're right, it's out there. When I was watching it late last night on my computer, I was ready to pull my hair out. I was like, how can she even, and Obama even addressing it as being legitimate drove me nuts too.
And I've rationalized some of that, Renee Louise. I really have. I've said, look, you know, I'd be for clean coal if it could be clean, but it can't be. So.
No, that's just it. We cannot rationalize this because it's not true. It is not a truth, so we cannot rationalize it because that's just an excuse to let it continue, and that's just another way that the mountaintops are going to keep getting blown up. We cannot rationalize it. You take the black and white facts that are there, and you've got to lay them out, and now this, you're right, it's out there. It's out there with the – it has to be jumped on now. So there's her website at MSNBC, but also her blog on her the Air America.
Well, and I saw where she twitters, and I signed up to Twitter not too long back. So
that's right.
As soon as I figure out how that works, I'll do that too.
I know I've got to figure that one out too. But her blog is Matto, her last name online.com, and she reads that. She goes on there and she reads that. She also has another thing on her radio show where it's called "You." This would be a great avenue to do it. And her assistant, who I know is her right-hand arm, would definitely put it through to you because I know she'd want to address this if she got it wrong. There, she has a segment on her radio program called Ask Dr. Matto, where you can call in and pose a question to her, and then she goes and finds out the answer to it. There you go, Bob.
Okie dokie. I'm going to work it all. I promise you.
And if you need anything further from me, I'll send you what links I did mention to you. And anything, just let me know.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And for those who don't know the gang in the chat room, you of course are Thunderstone.
Yes, I am.
And you've been missing the interaction lately. I know. So shout out to the chat room for you there.
Thank you. Yes, I miss all of you so terribly. Things have been chaotic here. Life's been a little topsy turvy. But I hold you all so close in my heart, and all of you, everything I said about Bob and the network, it goes right out to all of you, too. I jumped right on there without a thought, and you were all so welcoming to me. And family, you know, how I was greeted, that's what the meaning of family, you know, the warmth that I felt and the care.
Shout outs are already coming back at you. So.
Thank you. I'm not in front of the computer, otherwise, I'm. Believe me, I'd be there, but I can just imagine. And I just want them all to know that, you know, out of sight, definitely not out of mind, and forever in my heart.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Renee Louise, and I hope I hope this won't be a rarity. I look forward to hearing back from you.
Oh, I'm wanting to call in so many times, and I just haven't. But I had to. I was like, I don't have the time. I kept saying, I don't have the time. I was like, I can call him on this. This is too important. So I took that's just it, too. You know, there's another excuse. We got to have the time when we just have to. So, yes, I plan on calling in and talking with you more because I knew I'd love talking with you. And, look, I don't even want to get off. But I'm
I understand. You have a wonderful evening.
Okay, you too. And, Bob, thank you for everything you do. I want to see this your network, what you're doing. It's priceless. It's invaluable, and we've just got to keep it going. And thank you. Thank you for doing what you do to make it happen, and everyone else, too. But the force that you are behind it, it's, you know, you're priceless.
Well, thank you. I'm honored by your words. I am. And Agnes will probably have to put a C-clamp on my head now.
For a little while. No, yeah.
Okay. Take care.
Okay, you too.
All right.
And thanks so much again.
Oh.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Renee Louise, first time we've gotten a chance to talk to her. Thunderstone in the chat room. I hear from her frequently, and she's right about the family we've created. You know, we had one of those family stories last night with the folks out in Portland who came and fixed fixed Susan's furnace, and it is family. It just is. And I'm going to roll on to the back to the phones here just in a second. A quick email, this in from our buddy David in Middle Tennessee. Subject line, unring the bell. No, Bob, you can't unring their bell, but you can ring our bell more loudly and with greater frequency. If I may, a bit of perspective, and David's always good for perspective. If 1 year ago tonight, someone would have said to you, two knee-breaking judgments will go against Massey and the coolest and most up-and-coming liberal voice on the cable TV box would speak out against clean coal. Would there have been any joy in your heart? Oh, hell yes. Thrilled. And that's the thing I've tried to make clear in this. This is not a blanket criticism. This is just an teaching moment. This is an education thing. And David says, build on what Ms. Rachel has started, to be sure. But she's just reached many, many more times more so than any other efforts have reached in the past, no matter how short of the finish line her message might be. All too true. All too true. And it's all good. We just have to get the whole message out. And that includes where it comes from, where the dirty coal comes from. Gotta admit, I'm still hacked about those stupid little flash animations from the coal mob. It's not something you want to see right before bed, but, you know, what are you going to do? And to the phones, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, jump right in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Well, I conjured you.
Okay, folks, here's your homework. Rachel's email address is Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, at msnbc.com. Be very respectful. I suggest you send her links instead of actual embedded pictures. Send her links of pictures. Send her links to Kayford Mountain, to the slideshow, to Bob's commentaries on the website, and let's fill up the mailbox.
One of them bound to get read.
Yeah, and let's keep it full. Let's keep the pressure up. And while we're at it, blind carbon copy all of those emails to BarackObama.com.
Yeah, or BobAtHeadOnRadio.com for that matter. Just so
because
we can... Yeah.
Hey, we need to hold the president-elect's feet to the fire. Let him know clean coal ain't no such animal. And if we keep harping at it and, you know, telling him, showing him pictures, so on and so forth, links, always respectful, nothing that can be taken as, you know, out of line, but everything written nice and logical with lots of links, so that all they've got to do is click it and say, oh, my holy crap. Sooner or later, somebody's going to click on one of those links. And it's just going to take one click.
One click, one look. And like I said, you know, the folks who are in this battle on the ground are very welcoming. And I'm sure would be more than happy to, like I said, I'm sure she'd be welcomed at Kayford Mountain with open arms.
Yeah.
And and honest to God, as when you look out from Hell's Gate, you know, Michael and Jen, Michael's kid A in the chat room, they saw it and meant to go to Kayford and, you know, shoot a little footage and come on back to the studio when they were here shooting. It turned into a whole day thing because when you step out and you see that vista of death and devastation and destruction that you know will be there for the next million years or more, well,
the mouth of hell.
Yeah, it's the mouth of it's Hell's Gate. That's what Larry Gibson calls it. And you can't look away. There's that photo still on the website somewhere in the blog post of that one photo that Michael took that I call called Sunset in Hell, and it'll blow you away.
Yeah,
but when you see it with your own eyes and you get to use David's term, perspective, and it's everything you can see for as far as you can see. It's profound in a way that beggars the ability to describe it.
Yeah. Now, if everybody within the sound of my voice sent one email to each of these people per week, what do you think that would do?
I'd like to hope that it will build momentum.
Yeah. Now, here's something else. People, you need to start stepping up to the plate. I know the economy sucks. Believe me, I know it. I'm so far below the poverty line, I can't even see it.
Yeah, it's possible to get so far into a hole that you can't see the top of it. Yeah.
Right. That's where we are. But we need to start ponying up, because if we don't, the horn goes under. And while we're at it, we need to start hitting Guy's site as well, because if we don't, we lose Guy. Now, if you want to lose this very, very precious thing, fine, let's go. But what will you do? Are you going to go back to being good little Germans and good little Bushies?
You know, for my part, I've been doing a little practicing against that dark day. Every now and then I see how hard it is for me to say, welcome to Walmart. And so far I'm not getting very good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
people, you need to step. I know that a very small percentage of the actual listenership actually cough up. You don't have to put in huge amounts of money. Barack Obama proved that. $5. Have you got $5? Don't have that Starbucks coffee one day a week or one day a month. Give it to the horn. Is that going to kill you? But it might just keep the horn alive. You need to start stepping up. If we can do it, and we're living on just over $1,200 a month, and our mortgage payment is over $550, you tell me why you aren't paying something. Ask yourself that. Ask yourself why you're not paying something to help the horn survive.
And Guy.
Guy needs to be.
Yeah, I don't want anyone ever to think that there's anything in the way of competition going on.
No.
We have different costs and different needs, but as far as I'm concerned, Guy James is, he's my favorite guy on the horn.
Guy James is one hell of a host, and he needs to be supported. So you need to help him out. Because if you don't, he's gone. Because he has to live.
That's all very well said, Susan. And you know how, well, I get all creeped out trying to do this stuff. So thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm not as bashful as you are. Cough up, people.
Or Susan will find you.
So Susan.
On one leg. On one leg.
Susan will put a curse on you.
Susan,
that's what I am.
Thanks. Thanks a million. I do appreciate it. And I hope folks take your advice. And you know, like I said, send out a bajillion messages, and one of them's bound to get through.
Yeah. Email. Fill up the email box for Rachel for anybody. If you can get hold of Keith Olbermann's email address, fill up his.
Yeah, that's a little harder to find these days. I think
that's a little hard.
I think they took away Keith's email.
Well, that's too bad. fill up anybody, especially email the president-elect, because we need to hold his feet to the fire, and especially urge him, as soon as he is sworn in, to get into Marine One and fly over Caford Mountain.
And then we'll have that clean coal talk again. Exactly.
Yeah. After he picks himself up off the floor of the chopper. Because I don't think he has any idea.
It's very deliberately done, Susan. The masses of the world and the consuls and so forth, and the Peabodys, they try to make sure that you can't see what they're up to.
Yeah.
In some small part because of our efforts here, and in a much larger part because of the efforts of Coal River Mountain Watch, and other organizations that really do know the reality of this. People, what happens, in a way, just to be clear, these stupid little singing lumps of coal are a desperate response. This is, when they're willing to resort to religious heresy, which, you know, I don't really believe there's any such thing, but a lot of people do, when they're willing to resort to religious heresy, then
musical heresy.
Well, musical heresy. You said a mouthful, sister. But when they're willing to resort to that stuff, when they're spending their money on that kind of garbage, we know we're winning. And the reason we're winning is because every time a person sees a photograph of Caford Mountain or any of the other sites, Lord knows the sword of Damocles that hangs over the heads of 200 school children at Marsh Fork Elementary School in the form of toxic sludge that they can't get away from when that leaking dirt dam finally bursts. Well, when you see those photos, anybody who's in their right mind who makes that looks at it, we let this happen? This is legal? I mean, I've had people who had no idea what it was see it the first time and write to me and say, Bob, you're kidding. That's legal? Listeners in Europe, for instance, Bob, that's legal? They really can do that?
I showed the pictures to a fellow campaign worker here in Oregon, and she is now rabidly anti-mountaintop removal. She could not believe it.
Well, it does. It beggars one's credulity.
Yeah. Well, it also helps that she's got a 4-year-old boy. And it's very easy to put her son in that school. It's just.
Yeah, because we're talking about basically preschool through grade 5 at Marsh Fork Elementary. They breathe coal dust every day. They breathe poison every day. You can go through and just, you know, do the white glove test. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And anywhere you wipe coal dust.
Uh-huh. Which means you're breathing it.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to play another one of those stupid Christmas carols. There's one where it says, good for you and good for me.
Yeah, right. You don't see any of the owner's kids in that school.
Oh, no. No.
No. I do.
But ultimately, they can't get away from it either because they're, water's water.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's the big time bomb that's ticking. And I don't think Obama is aware of it because that's the ultimate time bomb that will explode this entire economy. Because if they have to start evacuating major cities along the eastern seaboard, southeastern seaboard, this whole economy goes into a major depression. Screw the car companies. It's not going to do any good. Just, you know, we're toast.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, so that's the ticking time bomb that we're trying to race against. And we seem to be the only people aware of it.
But if we talk about it, then we won't be. And that's the, and that's, but it's taken years longer than I've been on the air, to get the fight to mountaintop removal to where it is today. People have literally fallen dead along the way in this fight.
Well, I'm hoping that it's, well, like I told you that earlier, I'm hoping it's going to go viral. It will get to a jumping off point to where it starts multiplying itself exponentially. And then you won't be able to stop it.
Yep.
You know, you just literally will not be able to stop the movement against it. And that's when the coal companies will be toast.
And, you know, we also do have to drag our elected representatives kicking and screaming because, as I mentioned a couple of nights ago, it's my understanding that West Virginia 1st District Congressman Alan Mulhall, I got my districts messed up. I could be wrong, so I won't name the districts. Anyway, West Virginia Democratic Congressman Alan Mulhall is trying to outlaw windmills in West Virginia, or new ones,
oh,
that
good
is.
Oh, God.
And just a couple of days ago, my congressman, my very own, proudly announced 300 new jobs making liquid coal in McDowell County.
Yeah, right.
Now, bear in mind, it takes anywhere from 3 to 8 gallons of fresh, clean, pure, potable water to make 1 gallon of liquid coal fuel. And once you're done with that water, coming back to what you were saying a minute ago, Susan, once you're done with that water, you can't clean it up.
Nope.
Now, that clean coal technology is even further away than the carbon capture stuff is.
Yeah.
And, of course, we already know by virtue of the work that Coal River Mountain Watch has done that 1 year of carbon emissions from West Virginia's coal-fired power plants, 1 year, would take a space the size of West Virginia itself to sequester under the ground. What does that tell you?
It tells me they think we're incredibly stupid. And it also tells me they think we don't have access to computers and scientific formula. In other words, they think we're stupid hillbillies.
That's about the size of it, yeah.
Yeah, well, you may be a hillbilly, but you ain't stupid.
Well, hillbillies aren't.
No. Hey, my ancestors were hillbillies. Don't go knocking my ancestors.
Exactly. You know, that's why I go and thumb through Jeff Bigger's The United States of Appalachia every so often. That's probably one of my top five books list right now, and is staying there for a while.
Yeah, I've got ancestors who used to run illegal whiskey in them mountains.
Well, that's because there was some mighty nice branch water once upon a time that made some fine sipping whiskey.
Yeah, you know it. But they eventually got religion. God only knows why.
Oh, I'm surprised it was eventually. I mean,
they converted to Mormonism.
Okay.
Yeah, bad news.
Yeah, I know.
And moved out to Oregon, and that's, you know, out to, not Oregon, I should.
Well, you know, it's funny, there's a few generations back, a Kincaid packed up bag and baggage and left for Oregon and was some sort of a state legislator out there for years and years and years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, directly or, you know, distantly, but same branch, or if not same limb, if not the same branch of the family tree as I come from.
Cool. I'll have to look.
I don't know if he was a Republican or a Democrat.
Hopefully a Democrat.
But he was out there, and they came from right here in Fayette County. Susan, good talking to you, dear.
Well, it was good talking to you.
And thanks for the pep talk. Thanks for the information, and we'll see if we build any momentum behind it.
Yeah, and on that other matter, I contacted one of our local TV stations, and they just thought that was one of the neatest stories they've ever heard.
Well, they need the warm fuzzies this time of year, so don't be surprised if you don't wind up in front of somebody's camera.
God, I hope not. They can go in and interview the owner of the heating company. Don't talk to me.
It don't work that way, Susan.
He's the guy that did the good deed, not me.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't work that way. You can't pull an Emily Dickinson and hide behind a lace curtain and claim to be the bride of Christ or anything. No. Can't do that.
Please, can I come hide with you and Agnes?
Oh goodness. Well, let us know if the thing comes out. We'll want to see and hear about it.
Okay.
All right. You take care.
Have a nice night. Love to Agnes.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's News Ninja Susan, operating on one good leg. And I appreciate her doing a little pep talk, because I just get creeped out by that kind of stuff. So, all right, let's move along. Let's move along. And I hope I'm going to do my activism. You do yours, okay? And if you want to blind copy me on whatever you send, that's cool, too. Let's see. Oh, I know where I wanted to go. This will be a little bit fun. And we need some fun after this. What do the following songs all have in common? Now, just work with me here. This song, which I happen to be rather fond of. What does this have in common with what else you're going to hear? How do you not dance around the room when you hear this? Listen to that SG. Chat room, who's on the airbase? Okay, this is approaching gratuitous, because I'd just sit around and listen to the whole song if it was up to me. I think, God, I love AC/DC. I can't help it. Oh, we got ELO on the kazoo, we got Lottie on the air guitar, we got Poppy on Poppy and John Fox. Oh man, yeah, we got them both on the drum kit, so yeah, good deal. So there's that. Well, I'll give you a hint. Sort of indirectly. You know who, Representative Sylvester Reyes is? He's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He is a Democrat from Texas. Well, he recently said that Barack Obama needs to keep Mike Torture Boy McConnell on as Director of National Intelligence and needs to hang on to Michael Hayden as head of the CIA because he wants continuity in the intelligence sector because we live in a world that is very dangerous. Well, I can't fault Congressman Reyes for saying we live in a world that's very dangerous, but I haven't seen that the CIA's been right on top of the whole the poison baby formula, poison candy, poison toys thing out of China, because that's got a greater risk of hurting you or someone you love than some 6-foot-7-inch Arab on with a portable dialysis machine living in a cave in Pakistan. To see the poison food from China, the poison toys from China, thanks to organizations like Walmart, get all over the country. Bin Laden can't do that. But Hayden and McConnell are both big fans of torture. And Reyes wants them kept on board. Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's see. A little bit. This is a hint, but let's see. Now, you got AC/DC Shoot to Thrill, right? So then there's this. And then there's this. You know, it never ceases to amaze me the incomprehension of Wingnuts when it comes to that song. Sent me to kill the yellow man. Really. But all of these things, you know, this isn't the old Sesame Street game where one of these things is not like the other, one of these things does not belong. These things all have something very much in common. And this, all of these things have something very much in common.
No fighting. We got the refugees.
No fighting. No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.
I never really knew that she could dance like this.
She make a man want to speak Spanish. Como se llama? Bonita. Picasa.
Shakira, Shakira.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that. And keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, and my head's so high. I'm starting to feel it's right. All the attraction, the tension. Don't you see, baby, this is perfection.
Hey, guy, I can see your body moving. And it's driving me crazy. And I didn't have the slightest idea until I saw you dancing. And when you walk up on the dance floor, nobody can not ignore the way you move your body, girl. And everything's so unexpected.
That song. And, you know, the Eminem cut. And, Lord, AC/DC, Shoot the Thrill. Bruce Springsteen. Oh, I know. And even, yeah, this.
A long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, now do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? Well, I know that you're in.
Yeah, you're in love with him because you saw him dancing in the gym. Who was he dancing with?
I love you, you love me. We're a happy family with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me too? I love you, you love me. We're best friends like friends should be. With a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me too?
Isn't that sweet? That's just charming. And then, of course, finally, even this. Some dead air along the way somewhere. Oh, there it is. Okay, hold on. Hey, this is all jocking on the fly.
Time after time, I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my share.
Okay, I've been indulgent of myself enough here. There's some really good music here. There is. And, of course, the answer to what does this all have in common? I could go on. Lil' Kim, Limp Bizkit, Matchbox 20, Rage Against the Machine, Tupac, Aerosmith, Britney Spears. Christina Aguilera, Deicide, They are all on the playlist of torture. Yeah. It has come out as a result of the work, and it is good work, it is needed work, it is... It's all come about as a work, as the work of a British group by the name of Reprieve. Their mission statement says that Reprieve uses the law to enforce the human rights of prisoners from death row to Guantanamo Bay. We investigate, we litigate, and we educate. Working on the front line, we provide legal support to prisoners unable to pay for it themselves. We promote the rule of law around the world and secure each person's right to a fair trial. In doing so, we save lives. And, you know, when they say we save lives, they're not just talking about the lives of the prisoners. They're talking about the lives of people who aren't. Even the lives of the, potentially the lives of the American soldiers playing this stuff over and over and over again, day after day, night after night, time after time, to the prisoners in the... concentration camps at Guantanamo Bay. Yeah, okay, this is, Reverbo, stop, enough. You know, it's funny, that didn't come in until I played the Barney theme song. Everybody was okay with Born in the USA. Everybody was all right with Shoot to Thrill. White America by Eminem, just dandy. You play a little Barney theme song. It doesn't, it probably doesn't torture Afghans or Iraqis or the Saudis or Yemenis or Egyptians, but it damn sure tortures us. Reverbo says, stop, enough. I'll give you all the nuclear launch codes. Just please stop. These are all parts. And bear in mind, this playlist... this playlist was come up with by psychologists. I guess gone are the days of kindly Dr. Hartley. Hi, Bob! Hi, Bob! Hi, Bob! Gone are those days. Psychologists now are in the employ of the United States government, sitting around trying to figure out how to use art. We are talking here about music, are we not? How to use art to torture, humiliate, and torment other human beings. Now, channeling my inner smart aleck, I can't help but think that with the exception of Barney and the Sesame Street... Wait, the Sesame Street song? I mentioned earlier how the opening notes of Nat King Cole singing Adeste Fidelis has the power to bring me to tears with the memories it brings. And they're fond memories, and they're warm memories, and they're good memories. And for a whole bunch of America, the theme to Sesame Street is the same thing. It's a happy, welcoming place with friendly vampires who get a charge not out of sucking the blood out of the neck of innocence, but out of counting to 10. But the Bush administration has figured out a way to pervert that, to make it dirty, to make it filthy, to make it be associated in someone's mind with hate. And God knows the theme, the Barney theme is such a bleeding earworm. I don't know. You know, these people may not even speak English, but by the time they get put onto the waterboard, you know, what do you know and when did you know it? I love you. You love me. Oh, he's singing the Barney theme. Damn it. Put him at you know what's not on the list? I know it's going to seem a little bit crazy, But I just realized something that's not on the list. And this is kind of mind-boggling. This isn't on the list.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life. And I had to start it.
Even I can't let that play for more than 10 or 20 seconds. That's not on the list. That's not a torture song. Yes, it is. You know, you've got, whoever came up with this list was really, really clueless. Because they're not, I don't know, what kind of racist assumptions? And in the final analysis, that's what we're talking about. What kind of racist assumptions were made about the political concentration camp prisoners at Guantanamo that made some freak within the intelligence establishment decide that playing the Red Hot Chili Peppers was a surefire way to get information out of an Afghan goat herd? It is racist because there has to be an assumption at the bottom of that that says, well, you know, the only thing they recognize as music is nose flutes and ouds. So we'll play them some of that hip hop. If you look at this list, and I include Barney and Sesame Street in this consideration, there is some element of liberality to virtually every one of these songs. F Your God, Dirty, Shoot to Thrill, We Are the Champions. Like I said, the lyric to Born in the USA, White America, Rage Against the Machine. I'm passingly familiar with what they do. And I'm, no. You know, there's no Brooks and Dunn on this list. There's no Martine or McBride. There's no Faith Hill. Where's what's his face? Mr. Nicole Kidman. Keith Urban. He's not on there. There's no Okie from Muskogee on there. I'm not, you know, call me crazy, but I think you could probably work your way into a doctoral thesis, not on torture necessarily, and certainly not on the mindset of the average concentration camp victim, but on the twisted psychopathology of whoever came up with this playlist. Now, I'm really impressed with these folks at Reprieve. They have a new initiative underway, an anti-torture initiative called Zero DB, and it's a list of bands who have objected to the use of their music. They're hoping, Reprieve is hoping to, this is a quote, attract the attention of high-profile musicians who are willing to speak out against this incredibly horrible form of no-touch psychological torture. And, of course, one of the first ones to come out and say something about this was Tom Morello, from, of course, Rage Against the Machine. He said, I suggest they level Guantanamo Bay. But they keep one small cell, and they put Bush in there. And they blast some Rage Against the Machine at him. How apt Did you see him talking about religion? After 8 years of crap like, well, God told me to strike at Saddam, and I did. Which he said to Israeli and Palestinian leaders in, 2003, 2004? Yeah. But he sat down with ABC's Cynthia McFadden and said, I don't take the Bible literally. And just as was the case with the heresy and the blasphemy of the Cole Association out there mocking hymns dedicated to the celebration of the birth of their God, the fundies from the American Family Association, Focus on the Family, the Falwell outfit, the Creflo Dollar outfit, the Joyce Myers outfit, the Kenneth Copeland outfit, the Joel Osteen, the Peace Medal given Rick Warren. Not a word. George sat there and said he had figured out a way to reconcile evolution and God. And beep, 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 nothing, nothing. The Musicians Union is trying to mobilize support among its 30,000 members by sending out an article condemning the use of torture music. Bob Singleton is responsible for the Barney theme song. That's a separate rant. And you can really only get in touch with it. Well, I mean, you can, but you can't understand the full level of, unless you've had raised children in the last 10, 15 years and had that thing play over and over again. But Bob Singleton wrote the theme. He said, it's absolutely ludicrous. A song was designed to make little children feel safe and loved, and it was somehow going to threaten the mental state of adults and drive them to the emotional breaking point? Reprieve has a film of concentration camp detainee Ruhal Ahmed, held at Guantanamo Bay. And on that video, he says, I experienced it the music on many occasions. I can bear being beaten up. It's not a problem. Once you accept that you're going to go into the interrogation room and be beaten up, it's fine. You can prepare yourself mentally. But when you're being psychologically tortured, you can't. What was that psychological torture? Well, he goes on and he describes being shackled in a squatting position from anything from half an hour to an entire day. He says, later on then, and from the end of 2003, they introduced the music, and it became even worse. Before that, you could try and focus on something else. It makes you feel like you're going mad. It's very scary. After a while, you don't hear the lyrics. You only hear heavy banging. They did it also to Binyam Mohammed. He said, it was pitch black, no lights on in the rooms for most of the time. They hung me up. I was allowed a few hours of sleep on the second day, then hung up again, this time for 2 days. My legs had swollen. My wrists and hands had gone numb. There was loud music, Eminem, Slim Shady, and Dr. Dre for 20 days. For those keeping score at home, Binyam Mohammed is still being held, still being tortured, still being tormented at the concentration camp in Guantanamo Bay. How can closing Guantanamo not be job one for Barack Obama? How can it not? And what of the psychologists and the psychiatrists? You know, this would be a great moment, conjuring effort. This would be a great moment to hear from horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner, because that's his profession that the Bush administration and the criminals therein have trashed and tarnished. What should happen to a man or woman who uses the power of the mind to defeat the mind, who is in fact and who is in fact licensed within the United States, a citizen of this country, a country founded on principles of innocent until proven guilty, of the right to a trial before a jury, of the, one of the most ancient legal principles of the Anglo-American tradition, habeas corpus. What should happen to the person who perverts that and uses it for nothing but unmitigated evil? And for us, who love art, who love the creative process, who revere, I mean, there's a lot of musicians in this audience. There are visual artists in this audience. There are writers. I myself have at one time or another fancied myself a poet of sorts. And you don't do this to get rich. And you don't do this necessarily for public gratification. You do it because art is in you and has to get out. What motivates an artist today is the same thing that motivated the artist wandering into the cave 20,000 years ago. The same thing that motivated that hunter-gatherer somewhere on the Russian steppe who fashioned little bone figurines of a pregnant woman and buried it with reverence and love. The impulse is the same, and yet for 8 years, 8 long years that, yea, verily, we pray will soon be over, for 8 years, that honest impulse, that creative impulse, that impulse that comes from a place that is that can only be defined as love or worship or adoration, has been turned into a filthy, vile, perverted thing. And what these people have used to create psychological torture says far more about them than it will ever say about us. But anyone with the artistic impulse who does not, who has ever felt the creative spark, painters, sculptors, photographers, poets, novelists, musicians, actors, dancers, any one of us who sits by quietly, well, we have forfeited, no, we have slaughtered the muse. Simply put. So we'll take a little break and come back. Your calls, of course, are always welcome. 877-443-2366. 877-4-HEAD-ON. Or on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email rolls in to bob@headonradio.com. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. And we'll be back. This is The Horn.
Welcome to Seton Notes. I'm Tony Seton. From the Department of Duh, these items. First, the National Bureau of Economic Research announced that the nation went into a recession a year ago. They based their determination on statistics, which analysis seemed to escape a whole slew of experts during the past 12 months. And we should make a list of them, especially those who protested loudly that the economy was doing fine, thank you, and never ask for their opinion again. It's amazing how so many high-paid yahoos get so many of the important issues so very wrong. Remember Alan Greenspan sputtering like an Alzheimer's patient during testimony before Congress this fall about how the facts regarding the housing bubble bursting had defied his models. Yeah, well, thanks a lot. And he's not worried about making his mortgage payments. But many people are, and over the past year, while those in the know were saying no, millions of mortgages crapped out, which shows the value of statistics and those who play with them in the useless dark closets of their credentials. Another big surprise came in a report about how mobile phone calls distract drivers far more than conversations with actual passengers. The study, published in the Journal of American Psychology Applied, yep, gotta get a subscription to that mag, offered that passengers at least can help drivers by pointing out dangers and impending turns, or just plain shutting up. Research showed that hands-free phones were just as distracting as those held to the ear, and that drivers using cell phones were about as dangerous on the road as those who had had too much to drink. Here's the point, which they didn't seem to get. When you're having a phone conversation, at least part of your mind is with that person. That is, your attention is elsewhere, not in the car. Duh. And that's Seton Notes. For more, go to SetonNotes.com. I'm Tony Seton.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All righty then. Oh, I'd say you've got a good 40, 45 minutes worth of conversation left if you want to jump in. You just heard the phone number there, courtesy of the one and only Brian Reznor. And as I said before, email to Bob at headonradio.com. And, let's see. Where to go? I know where. This is one of those twofers. This is one of those where you get two hunks of sleaze for the low, low price of one miserable right-wing member of the United States Senate. Now, who would I be talking about? I know, because there's so many miserable, sleazy, right-wing dirtbag members of the United States Senate. But in this case, it's one of my favorites. Probably second in abject insanity, right behind the Tom Coburn of Oklahoma. I'm talking, of course, and this will resonate with our buddy David in South Carolina, I'm talking about Jim Demented. Yep. This guy is crazier than a sprayed roach, beyond a shadow of a doubt. But he's meaner than a snake, too. And he has he's been front and center on this opposition to any help, not for the corporations, but for the 3 million people who are directly affected by the United States auto industry. This is just a stunning. Well, Jim Demented did an interview on NPR, National Public Radio, yesterday, and was talking with Michelle Norris, who asked him the following. And glad to know Michelle's on board. Of course, she's an objective journalist and wouldn't necessarily advocate the way we do here. But she asks Jim Demented the question. Now, you know, the unions are saying this is also talking about the fact that he's hell and swore and be damned that he's those 3 million, 2-3 million workers, they can go straight to hell as far as Jim Demented is concerned. Now, you know, the unions, this is Michelle Norris. Now, you know, the unions are saying this is also a political ploy on the part of the Republicans to get rid of unions and use the auto industry troubles to do just that. And every now and then, if you're paying attention, and they think that you're not, a Republican will tell the truth. Because his answer to that question, now, you know, the unions are saying this is also a political ploy on the part of the Republicans to get rid of unions and use the auto industry troubles to do just that. Demented's response is, well, I'm not trying to get rid of the unions, but I am saying that they appear to be an antiquated concept in today's economy. Really? How about that? Having the right to freely associate, you know, cherished and protected in the First Amendment. Now, granted, he's a Republican, so he probably doesn't realize that that kind of stuff's in the First Amendment. He thinks the First Amendment just applies to his right to believe in zombie gods. But it is freedom of association. That's in the First. It's really, really important, but you know that. And he went on, he said, these here car companies are in real trouble, and they should have been planning to restructure for a long time. But the political aspect of this is, most of this is being done to protect unions. Well, it's not to protect the workers. Huh? Ouch, my head's hurting. And what I want to do is make sure we have jobs for these workers, and we have first-class American automobile companies, and we're not going to do it with the barnacles of unionism wrapped around their necks. Now, I really appreciate our blogger Betsy sending this along. I saw this earlier today, and it's really tough to do show prep sometimes, because you see this insane, mean-spirited, rotten, anti-American babble coming out of the mouths of these flag-waving fascists. And you can't, and you, at that point, you know, you really, if we were doing video, you'd see me, I'm rubbing my little eyeballs right now. You kind of rub your eyes and shake your head a little bit till you hear the marbles inside your skull banging against your eardrums. because you just can't believe you just read what you read. We're not going to do it with the barnacles of unionism wrapped around our necks. Huh. Yeah, I'll be damned. I thought the only thing wrapped around a worker's neck was the companies. That's why they're union. That's why there's a UAW in the first place. You know, it wasn't so much barnacles at the Flint, Michigan massacre as it was bullets. The company gun thugs weren't carrying barnacles. They were carrying submachine guns. No, it's an antiquated concept in today's economy. Because after all, we can always trust the free market to do right by the American worker. Need I remind anyone, and the answer is obviously no, that Jim Demented comes from South Carolina, a so-called right-to-work state, where wages are driven into the ground because of those very right-to-work laws, where health care is harder to come by because of those right-to-work laws, where pensions have vanished because of those right-to-work laws, because they, being the Southern state and hating, you know, the Southern aristocracy, it's not all about persons of color. It's also about persons of certain economic classes. And you don't want working people getting all uppity and thinking they can be standing there on the plantation porch with us drinking mint juleps. Oh, can't have that. So that's Jim Demented. Take one. Confirming, surprisingly enough, that this is all about union busting. But he wasn't done. No. He wasn't done sliming on union workers. He chimed in after the press conference on the big three, the big three's financial crisis. He got caught up with by some right-wing phony journalist by the name of Carter Clues, who is from Americans for Limited Government. ALG. And Carter Clues caught up with him and had himself a camera handy and a Mikey phone and Demented just started babbling. Apparently his handlers weren't on scene or whatever. And Clues asked him about never mind. Let's let this crazy old bastard say it for himself.
Primary driver behind this is unions, because bankruptcy allows the auto companies to basically restructure all their contracts in a way that a bankruptcy judge says will make them sustainable. And if they do that, and essentially the unions lose all their leverage. And it's the unions that have brought them to the brink. So I think definitely the reason they want a political solution and a CARSAR is the CARSAR can protect the unions through this whole process at the expense of the taxpayer.
Right, you got that. This whole thing's about the unions. Not hardly. But he wasn't done with the crazy yet, because the crazy is on Jim Demented like a dog on a bone wagon.
There is no question this will result in inflation. The amount of money we borrowed, the amount of money we printed, has put us in a more dangerous situation than I think we've ever been in as a country. You may not see the inflation as long as the economy is slow. But I've talked to some economic experts. Once the economy starts picking up, with so much money in the money supply, so much debt, you'll likely see very high inflation rates and very high interest rates.
Now, Mark Levine is much more the guy to talk about this than I am, because he's the one with the highfalutin, star-spangled economics degree. I know enough about economics to know that I don't know it. Just simple concepts I'm okay with. But I have tried to read, and I have tried to educate myself. And I've seen where people like Paul Krugman say, well, yeah, inflation may be an issue, but right now you can't stifle spending because that's the only way to get out of a deep recession or something approaching depression level crisis. The way you beat a depression is for the government to spend. And it's not like this is theoretical stuff. It works. It's been proven on a number of fronts, not just in the United States, but it's been proven in other countries. You cannot be a fiscal conservative of any stripe inside a recession or a depression. The one which, incidentally, the Republicans caused, but, you know, we're not going to play the blame game. But again, you've probably been around, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner, you know, whoever that, you know, or just in a bar somewhere. There's always some guy who's just off on his and just babbling away. You know, a crazy old dude at the end of the bar, and after a while, if the bartender doesn't cut him off, he just falls off the stool after a while. That's how he shuts up. Well, that's Jim DeMand.
If you look at where we're going, we are not on a sustainable course as a country. Frankly, GM is in a better financial situation than we are as a country. And the only difference is we can print money. But as other countries along the crown of the world lose confidence in the value of the dollar, that's going to come home very shortly. And so I just think we need to recognize that the trillions and trillions of borrowed and committed money is going to completely debase our currency and undermine our whole economy. And this Chicken Little mentality up here, all they have to do is create a panic and then pass something, it's got to stop. And it's got to stop with this auto bailout.
Right, it's got to stop with this auto bailout. It didn't have to stop when we were beggaring ourselves and cleaning out the treasury for a stupid little war of choice in Iraq and an occupation that followed it. No, that wasn't where we had, because we had to support troops. And we, as we now know, supported the troops by giving them ice that had dead putrefying bodies on top of it and hauled in those same trucks. Or by feeding them food that had little pieces of perhaps even depleted uranium shrapnel in it. No, that wasn't the time to worry about spending ourselves stupid or broke. But now that it affects actual working people, oh, well, Jim DeMented, who would have spent any amount of money for George Bush as long as he was told that it was going to blow up some brown people. Well, Jim DeMented's suddenly found his Republican fiscally conservative roots. Can you imagine the hubris of this fool?
Frankly, GM is in a better financial situation than we are as a country. The only difference is we can print money. But as other countries along the crown of the world lose confidence in the value of the dollar, that's going to come home very shortly. And so I just think we need to recognize that the trillions and trillions of borrowed and committed money is going to completely debase our currency.
Well, where's that debasement of the currency coming from? It didn't start with the Wall Street bailout. Oh, hell no, it didn't start with that. No, it started with Afghanistan. It started with Iraq. Oh, and by the way, congratulations, the Afghanistan surge is now scheduled to begin in January. Yeah, happy news. That's where the bad paper got hung. Oh, no, no, no. It's not the two or the four or whatever trillion dollars that we've hung in the last 6 to 8 months. The real critical destruction of our financial infrastructure began with the foolhardy government policy of just pouring. My God, we calculated it. I think it was David in Tennessee who knows about how to do this stuff and calculated that we shipped shrink-wrapped packages of $100 bills that were referred to in Baghdad by the Coalition Provisional Authority as footballs. We shipped 18 tractor trailer loads of $100 bills in shrink-wrapped packages to Iraq. But Jim Demented hasn't heard about that. That's not, no, he's worried about debasing the currency now. Dear Jesus. But finally, the crazy really comes out. This is the fun part. This is the, there's lots of crazy already. But this is the, I don't know, this is the cherry on top of the caca, really.
We're going to have riots. Already people rioting because they're losing their job and somebody else has been bailed out. And the unfairness of it becomes more and more evident as we go.
Okay, did you get that? We're going to have riots. We're going to have riots. Well, what are we going to have riots about? Well, Carter Clues, the little wingnut phony journalist who conducted this little taste of insanity, Carter Clues had asked him some stuff about the bailout. He asked Jim Demented, where do you think the bailout mania is going to end? And you just heard the answer to that question. But just to be sure, let me make it clear for you. He said, we're going to have riots. Well, what did he mean? He said, already people are rioting because they're losing their jobs and somebody else has been bailed out. Who was he talking about? What story have we followed here and has been followed all over the country? What shining moment of American heroism have we lauded and have others lauded as we saw American working people finding the roots of activism once again in mother labor? Already people are rioting because they're losing their jobs and somebody else has been bailed out. That's right. A sit-down strike conducted by the workers from Republic Window has been transformed in the mind of union-hating, union-busting, working people despising Jim Demented into a riot. There has not... The people who did the sit-down strike at Republic Windows, you know what they did? They went into the factory and they cleaned house. Really, they cleaned it up. They tidied it up. They spent their time preserving that which had via their labor, preserved them. There were no reports of violence. There were no reports of shouting, screaming, bomb-throwing, guns, none of that. But in Jim Demented's sick, twisted, thin, gray, puddled settlings between his ears that pass for brains, that peaceful sit-down was a riot. Yeah, Carter Clues refers to Jim Demented as a highly respected U.S. senator who has a firmly established reputation for calmly telling the truth as he sees it, for putting unwavering principle above political expediency, unless it's a bill to fund trillions for the stupid little Iraq war, time after time again. Riots. The Republic Window workers were rioting. Do you see now what we're up against? unions are barnacles and union workers calmly cleaning up their factory and just remaining there in order to get monies that are due and owing to them as a function of federal law. Well, in Jim Demented's sick, twisted, sideways world, that's a riot. We have seen the enemy. Lord, yes, we have. To the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, hey, Sandra.
Hey, Sandra.
Listen, you know, I'm just sort of looking at this BS with their alternative plan that they're trying to... I mean, it's so transparent. I'm just like, you know, talking about class warfare, this is just off the hook. And I'm so disturbed by these people who seem to think that letting this industry go under is a good thing. I mean, it's just, is it because of lack of education? I mean, I really need for you to explain it to me because I'm looking at it as a national security issue. You can't gut the final industry here. You can't even, you know, how would you even go to war if you were into that? I mean, it is so ludicrous. Union hating or not, it don't make no sense.
Well, and I guess that's the other side of the coin. These right-wing ideologues, these Randian fascist freaks, they're more than, you know, I guess what they're saying, if I understand it correctly, Sandra, is that, well, you know, we want them to go bankrupt because then they can make people work for beans because, you know, desperate people are better workers.
Well, not only that, but, you know, once again, the only time capitalism is happy is when it's free labor. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure it is. I mean, that's the heart and soul of Friedman-esque economics.
Right. This is what is always being driven to. I mean, we had that situation for centuries here, which explains a part of the great wealth in this country. Can we agree on that? So now they have a number of disposable people because of this predatory economic system. And you'll see... the social Darwinism just ratchet up because they got to explain away the misery. And the way you do that in this country is to blame the victim. I mean, that's a tried and true tradition in America. And it's just like, I'm looking at this shit and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm about almost done because this is, it's so unfair and so unbelievably callous. I'm kind of like, dumbfounded by...
Well, remember, Sandra, there's an elephant in the room, and that is, and you don't hear a lot of talk about it, the UAW has something called a strike fund. And if the estimates I've heard are correct, that strike fund has something on the order of $1 billion in it. And every right-winger out there drools at the thought of getting their hands on that money.
Well, no, but the Democrats are so stupid not to fight this all the way just by virtue that they need the union support for their own campaigning. You know what I mean? I mean, there are so many downsides to this. I can't even.
Well, there.
I can't even begin.
You're right. And there's something else at work here. And I don't know if finally working people and union members and the people who support them will finally turn the learning curve on this. You know, and I know that just as the right wing takes the pro-life movement, for instance, and I'm not comparing the two at the outset. Let me make that clear. But the right wing just assumes that the pro-lifers and the social, so-called social conservatives, the religion industry, will always be there for them. And that's why they've got abortion handy. They'll beat that drum anytime they need these people to come walking on their knuckles out and, you know, go to the polls and vote. Well, we've got a little bit of that ourselves. And that is, union labor busted its hump for Barack Obama and broke its back trying to create that 60-seat majority in the Senate and came damn close to doing it and created a broader majority in the House. That was labor doing that, and labor really is the mother of all liberal progressive activism. And what we're going to find out from the Democratic Party is if the Democratic Party is going to treat its base the same way that the Republican treats its base.
Well, no, but the thing is, you know, I know all these politicians tend to be short-sighted because I decided that they're, most of them are just stupid. You know, let's just be honest. And they'll be short-sighted to the point where they'll be mealy-mouthed with this bailout to the point where they're going to destroy their own meal ticket. I mean, they, you know, it's only a little bit of union left. And if they gut this UA, you know, the United Auto Workers, I mean, this is just so bad on so many levels. I mean, I don't even know. I can't even express myself. I'm just so disturbed by it. And not from some partisan point of view. It's like, I thought we all loved America, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so these weird utopians that all these different people have, be it the, you know, free marketers or communism, I mean, come on, man. You can't have it. It doesn't work, you know? And, you know, you have to work in systems that are viable. But these people are so driven by their ideology, really. I never thought I'd see this in this country to the point where we're back to...
I think you're actually stunned, Sandra, and that's a new one on me.
No, I am. I'm just stunned just from a practical point of view. You know, I mean, I can... take a step back from my, you know, left leanings when I need to, and this is one of them. It's like, hello, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know.
You know,
look, you know, it passed fairly easily. This bridge loan bailout, whatever you want to call it, it passed the House easily last night.
Yeah, no, right. But do you think that the people who are paying attention to this drama are aware, you know, they understand just the double standards. We can't be the only one, because this sort of debate that's going on, why didn't they have this debate with these financial entities?
You know the answer to that better than I do.
Okay, so are we to assume that the financial sector lines the pockets of these politicians so they're mute on that issue, but because they're not getting anything from the workers?
Yeah, all they got was elected from the workers.
Right, they're able to have this sort of debate about it now. But we're not supposed to think something's amiss because of this? Come on.
Well, I see it and you see it. Everybody listening to this program sees it. But it's a sickening double standard.
No, but it's really sickening. I mean,
yeah, nauseating.
Not even figuratively. I find myself, you know, with a headache and just really disturbed because I'm trying to look at the bigger picture. We have a dynamic economy, but it won't be dynamic forever if you keep eliminating whole sectors of our economy, you know?
Look, we've got a Defense Department that can't protect itself against some hacker in Russia.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Maybe you heard about that. Yeah.
Where do we build our... Really, this is a legitimate question. This is not rhetorical. Where do we build our tanks?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean about the national security issue. It's like, you know, them freaks are always going on about protecting.
Well, all you got to do is look at the early history of World War II.
Yeah, well, that's what. Yeah, I know. I just am sort of, if you know, and I don't mean to go conspiracy, but I'm really wondering if there is something else going on here, Bob.
Well, but what is it? I mean, I have that same. It's like when you've got a scratch in the back of your throat and it just drives you, that tickle in the back of your throat. You can't reach it. You can't scratch it, and it just drives you nuts. What is it? What?
Right. So I'm not in a vacuum. You know, you understand what I'm saying, because see, this is flying in the face of even these freaks not rationalizing it. And I'm thinking, you know.
No, I think Sandra, they've got something in the works.
Well, no, because see,
there's a plan whereby they being the right wing, try to hold this country hostage with this. It's a means by which they have power now that they are out of power.
Well, no, but see, the reason why, you know, no, but I'm so done with the weak-ass Democrats. It's like, You know, come on, we'll use the nuclear option against these bitches now. They did it.
Well, if you're sick of the weak ass Democrats, I suggest you leave your TV and your radio alone for the next few days, because this is all in the hands of Harry Reid now.
No, it's really quite, and that's not very comforting. But see, another thing I'm thinking is, instead of going total police state because of this fear of terrorism, well, it looks like it's turning out that it may go total police state because we're going to have total social unrest because nobody got a goddamn job.
And that allows it took them 8 years. They're 8 years in the building. Remember,
well, no,
it's
I'm
not conspiracy
you.
Theory when we talk about the camps with the gates and the barbed wire fences.
You're going to have to do something. It ain't just the inner city now where you're going to be having, because see, this country isn't prepared to deal with 12% unemployment, let alone 25. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Because it ain't nothing in place. There is no safety net. There's zilch in this country because of Reagan. So you think that all these sort of scared, fat, consuming Americans are just going to sit in a corner? No, they're going to be freaking out. And because they're so stupid, they're going to be rounded up.
You want to see a riot? Watch what happens when they can't pay their cable bill anymore.
Well, we can reduce it that way too. Because I think, and I sometimes think some of these people are that dumb. When I heard that one woman talking about, oh God, thank you Jesus, I can get my teeth fixed. When Obama got elected, I was like, oh man, we're in for it.
Oh, right? But did you see the church service in Detroit?
Nah, you know, listen. I have a threshold.
I'm about to violate it.
I can only look at certain things, and then I got to turn away.
They had a church service in Detroit where they drove SUVs down to the altar and prayed over them.
What?
Wish I was lying.
God, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's pretty out there.
But that's what you're going to see more of. Live on hay, day by day, there'll be pie in the sky when you die.
Right, no. And that's the thing that I, worry about, because I do think there's a level of sort of fantasy world that goes along with being an American, you know what I mean?
Sure there is, and that's part and parcel of it. But long before they drove the SUVs down the blood-red carpet to the front of the church, long before they did that, the fundies were on Wall Street laying hands on the Golden Bull.
Oh, God, but no, and so it's just, I have to, touch base with folks like you and other people who are, fairly reasonable, because I'd be thinking that I'm going crazy, because it's just seems.
There is an answer to this stuff. I mean, if you pay attention to the economists who don't worship at the shrine of Milton Friedman, pretty much straight away that the answer to this really is for the government to. I mean, the only way you literally spend yourself out of this stuff, and I know the Republicans like to tax and spend. Democrats, see, they're back to their same old ways again.
No, we have this idiot actor who's talking about belt tightening, and it's like, idiot, you don't belt tighten, especially when you're a superpower that can print your own money for now. You better try to take advantage of that, because it ain't going to be there for.
Well, Jim DeMitted sitting there talking about debasing the currency. Who debased the currency?
No, not only that, but listen, you have organizations that were started at Bretton Woods, the IMF, the World Bank. All those entities are the same as the Commonwealth to the British Empire. We're in decline, so we need to use those things we created, right?
Well,
hello.
Use it or lose it?
It's just kind of like we can print the money to spend our way out of it now, because, everything's pegged on our currency for now. It won't last forever, but, you use what you have, You can't talk about fiscal being, I don't know. I just am sort of every economist.
But these people, the Demitteds and the Coburns and the Shelbys and suddenly the Bob Corker the scum also rises.
Call Me Harold? That mother?
Yeah, that guy.
Well, no, but see, DAs all around, dumbasses.
Yeah, but they see they live in a world where they deny their own history.
No, but you know, and but I'm sick of it's like all these people who want to shoot themselves in the foot along with us. You know, I'm just talking about if you're going to exercise power, you need to exercise it for our sake. I would think, you know,
you would.
And I don't know, that's just kind of where I'm at. I'm like thinking, you know what, enough with the dumb shit, you know?
Well, indeed. But we've also, enough with the non-reality-based thing, because we've got a president coming in who seems, if you shunt aside all the misgivings about some of these appointments, and there's plenty of misgivings to go around, but I really do believe in letting somebody screw up first before I call them a screw-up. Putting all that aside, you got to admit that the guy, Obama, does seem to be focused on trying to get out of this.
Not only that.
He knows what he's inheriting.
Well, he had a press conference today, and, you know, beyond the constant questioning about that non-issue in Illinois, I was listening to what he was saying about health care, and agree or disagree, he made perfect sense. You understand what I'm saying? About what is the problem and tying it to the general economic experience in this country. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. You know, it was coherent, it was clear, and it made sense.
Exactly.
So I can hold on to that.
And that's part of what I'm holding on to here insofar as with, you know, history, you know, my ugly little hang up with that little topic. In 1929, when the crash got going really good, and you know before that too, though, you know you had the Wall Street crash, and then you had Republican stupidity in the Congress passing the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act, all of that stuff. Well, that all happens during Hoover's term, and the Depression is in full bore. You know, it's on, but before FDR ever gets into office.
Well, yeah,
so the one thing we've got going for us, if we can just get the DeMints and the Coburns and the Shelbys and the Corkers out of the way, the one thing we got going for us is we've got a chance to stop this before it gets much, much, much worse, as it would with Republican fiscal policies being at work. We've got that going for us, but sadly enough, the linchpin, you know, the no chain is stronger than its weakest link, and... You know, you look up weakest link in the dictionary, and there's a picture of Harry Reid.
Yeah, no, and see, that's a real worry, because that's why I was really gutted when that queer didn't lose, old Mitch. You know, I thought he would lose, and then he could come out, and everything would be brosy, but he won. You know.
Yeah, and certainly he's a big part of the problem too. And I agree with what Mark Levine said a couple of hours ago, and that is if these nasty rotten thugs want a filibuster? Make them filibuster.
And not only
here's your phone book. Call me when you're done. You're going to be here Christmas Day. I'm going for the eggnog.
Yeah, no. And it's sort of like, play the same game they play, threaten to annihilate the filibuster and bring it back when you're done doing what you're doing. You know, if they're going to play that kind of game, and in fact, not even playing games, it's like we're circling the drain here, you know?
Rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
Oh, and it's just, and I can't tell you how tedious it all is. I'm just like...
It's tedious, it's infuriating, because there's a whole bunch of people out in the United States of America, like you, Sandra, that I would trust a hell of a lot more to sit down in the United States Senate and get this fixed.
No, it's just a joke.
The morons are killing us.
No, it really is, and a mediocrity is just sort of like... It's just mind-numbing, you know? I'm just so sick of the sort of best and the brightest. You know what I mean?
You know, it's interesting you should bring that up. I read a column the other day over at Alternet by Chris Hedges talking about the best and the brightest, the Ivy Leaguers.
And how we
can't look for them to get us out of this mess because they're the ones who perpetually seem to create them.
Yeah, well, no. You know, I mean, the whole best and brightest stuff is some sort of sardonic sarcasm anyway. And it's just sort of like, I'm just, you know, these people don't know what they're doing. We've already, they've had the chance, you know.
You're gonna love this comment rolling in from our buddy David in Tennessee. Make a mess of the economy now, and America is not ready for white people acting pissed off. This country is not ready for 40-year-old white people coming down the street with the flame and the attitude.
Oh, listen, you know what? Homeboy is right. I didn't even want to go there. You don't want me to start talking about the infantilism of white people. They don't even know what's, well,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
it's
I do.
I mean,
like I said, when, you know, when the cable gets cut, people will be in the street.
No, I mean, you know, it is sort of, it's pathetic, but yeah, that he makes a good point with just with that comment. Oh my God, that's hilarious. But I feel for Obama because he sounds reasonable when I listen to him. I just don't know what he's going to be up against dealing with the likes of McConnell with Harry Reid as a buffer. Good night.
Well, just pray God that we hang on to the majority in Congress for 2 years because, do you know how you translate Blagojevich into English from Serbian?
What?
Whitewater.
Oh, listen. No.
I mean, if they can make up a scandal out of a failed land deal, you know, the Republicans are already screaming. What did he know and when did he know it?
And not only that, but I noticed at the press conference, all of a sudden, you know, these people are trying to ask questions to Obama. It's like, wait a minute, where was the questioning to Butt Boy, you know, Bush?
Yeah, see, he's special.
No, but it's just, you know, and I'm looking at this, I'm saying, oh, okay, now the press.
Don't be surprised, Sandra, they're doing what they do. They wake up when a Democrat's in the White House and go back to sleep when it's Ronnie Reagan or some damn Bush or, you know, pick one.
Well, no, but I mean, so far I kind of like how Obama, he seems to have a bit of a kind of an edge. I see it. He kind of, you know, I said, oh, shit, don't go black on him. Don't go there because he sounded a bit testy a little while ago. I was like, uh-oh. No, now he's in power. See, he can go off.
So far he's been really good with that the Obama-Wan Kenobi Jedi mind trick thing. You know, this is not the scandal you're looking for. This is not the scandal we're looking for.
Yeah, because he's so good with the language, you know, he can sort of turn it on to different, you know, he tries his best. He's pretty good at it. But these people seem like they smell something, and so they're going to latch on to it. And it's just boring, just like that guy in Illinois. I mean, please, that's some sort of bad joke, isn't it? And I like Jesse Jackson's son. It's like, no, fool, you was caught. Step down away. That ain't playing well either. It's like, hello, what you doing on the list?
I know, and but of course, by the same token, I wouldn't blame Blagojevich if he said, tell you what, you impeach George and I'll resign. Because,
well,
I mean, I'm sorry, you can't help but do the side-by-side comparison. Blagojevich is apparently a political sleaze bucket, which apparently you have to be governor of Illinois. I mean, they're 0-2 now on the last two governors, Republican and Democrat. But Democrats are doing the right thing. They're saying, hey, you know, resign, sucker.
The thing is killing me. He's still there, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, and he's going to stay. They're going to drag him kicking and screaming out of that governor's mansion.
Yeah, really? You don't think he's? Oh wow! I mean, I keep thinking he's going. You know, he's going to be gone. You know what I mean?
I don't think he'll do it before Christmas. I mean, that's just my gut feeling, but no.
But I mean, you have to admit, my history, I already lost it. But that stuff is just kind of reminding me of, you know, the Romans. They were forever selling Senate seats. And it's just straight out of that.
It's Caligula. It's Caligula and his horse Incitatus.
Well, and it's this other, I forget the other emperor, but it's one person who was selling stuff nonstop, you know, and it's just kind of like this dude.
Crazy,
you know?
Caesar's House of Senate seats. I'm crazy.
No, but the fact that, you know, there's some one rich guy who they haven't identified yet who said, oh, yes, and I'll be happy to pay you money for the seat. You just have to wonder who that is, you know?
Well, there's one last little thing that's sort of sitting back in the corner, And that is the question. You know, you've got, I forget what her name is. There's this loopy, loyal Bushy who's the U.S. attorney for Western Pennsylvania. And she's already announced she will not resign in the Obama administration.
Well, how's that working? When he can fire whoever he wants in that.
Yeah, he darn sure can. But she's trying to set up a U.S. attorney scandal to torment Obama with. See, he's just like Bush. But meanwhile, there's this U.S. attorney in Chicago by the name of Patrick Fitzgerald, who is also a Republican appointee, who is the guy who took down Blagojevich. And I'm thinking Blagojevich thinks that maybe if he can just wait it out, he'll get a friendly U.S. attorney and all will be well.
Well, no, Obama, if Obama ain't going to get rid of Hayden and Gates, how the hell are they going to get rid of Fitzgerald? No way.
And that's why I say you have to wait till January 20th.
Well, I don't know if I can, man.
This 39 days, 15 hours, 12 minutes, and 5 seconds.
Oh, my God. You know, my roommate has sort of finagled her way to go there because a friend booked a room in July. Can you believe it?
No. Couldn't pay me. You couldn't pay me.
Oh, I'm just wondering, isn't it going to be like zillions of people there?
Yeah, it is. It'll probably be the biggest inaugural crowd in the history of this country. And if, you know, if you're into that crowd scene, it could be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I've been to D.C. They must have it totally locked down now after 9/11.
Well, you know, Levine asked a perfectly reasonable question. How are you going to get all those porta potties into a 6-square-mile area?
So you anticipate a lot of mayhem, huh?
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, you'll have some right-wingers going nuts. And it's just, it's going to be crowd control like D.C. hasn't had to handle in a long, long time.
Yeah, no, I'll be perfectly content to have a brunch here and watch it on TV. Because, see, I have to watch it, because I'm so superficial and shallow, just to see that horrible Roberts have to hold the Bible for the nignog. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, you know, all we get on our cable system now is Fox. And I'm going to watch the inauguration on Fox entirely deliberately.
Yeah.
Because I expect to see brain matter exploding onto the camera lens.
Oh, my God. They've been so whacked out since he's been elected. Have you noticed?
Yeah. They're in deep, deep, deep depression. And they're losing their mind. Yeah. Well, we know we're back to the war on Christmas. That's how I opened the show. Hey, Sandra, I got a few minutes left. I want to try to get one more call
okay.
in. Good to hear from you, though. You know, all I can tell you is hang on tight.
I will. Have a good evening.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Calling from Southern California, our pal Sandra. And onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Northern California here, Bob. It's Richard.
I love how it works, Richard. What's going on?
Well, I'm going to change topics, actually. A couple of things are on my mind. I think I can cover it in the time we have left.
Okay, go ahead.
The first thing that's on my mind is how, automobile industry is very important for another reason. I don't know if it's come up, but the reason is defense, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were talking about, right?
Well, I just came in at 5 o'clock. My time.
Yeah.
The manufacturing, you know what the Germans did for World War II was converted industries.
Yes. Well, and so did we to a certain extent.
We did a lot.
Or not to a certain extent. That's what we did entirely. You couldn't get a new automobile between 1941 and 1945 in this country.
Yeah, they probably made more money selling tanks.
Sure they did, and because there was a constant need for them, because, among other things, a lot of our tanks couldn't stand up to what the Germans had.
Right. See, what we've had is greed has trashed our factories, and we shouldn't overlook this. The exporting of jobs, you know, overseas is a process that took place over a tremendously long period of time. And I am in favor of protective tariffs. I think that's going to be the only way we're going to build up again. When I was a kid, American industry was just awesome. I could get on the Pennsylvania Railroad in New York City and go west. And it was just almost a non-ending succession of factories in certain areas, like Trenton, New Jersey. Philadelphia was just, the tracks were just lined with factories, one after another. They're all working.
Yeah, and it, and on westward to Lord knows Pittsburgh, Wheeling, Cleveland. Yeah, what's called the Rust Belt now.
Yeah. So I had a bicycle when I was a kid. It was made by Ivor Johnson. Ivor Johnson's a gun company.
Yes, it was.
And that's what happened in Germany, too. You know, they could convert bicycle factories to making gun barrels. And
I had a shotgun once upon a time made by Smith Corona. How's that?
That's interesting. They were probably in Hartford, Connecticut, which was a center for typewriter manufacturing. That's where Mark Twain hung out.
Yes.
Clemens, toward the end of his life, and he was into typewriters.
Well, he broke himself on typewriters.
Yeah, exactly. But,
that's why he went on the. That's why he had to go on that world tour, because he refused to declare bankruptcy. And he paid off every last penny of debt. He was absolutely ruined. You're absolutely right. But yep. Your larger topic, I think, is your larger point is very much relevant, because if you can't, and you know, it's interesting. A very politically astute friend of mine, God, 4 years ago, stood on the steps of the Shrine Temple in Charleston, West Virginia, where they were having a political reception after our Jefferson Jackson Day dinner, and he said, "Fellas, I'm in favor of peace, and I want us to have peace. But I tell you what, how are we ever going? If we have to fight a defensive war, how are we ever going to fight it when we've shipped all our factories overseas?"
Exactly. I think
4 years ago,
us exactly where they want us. You know.
But who and why? Why do they want us there, Richard?
Beats the hell out of me.
That's the same problem that Sandra and I were having just a few minutes ago. It looks like, because otherwise it's just pure madness to let 3 million jobs go down the toilet.
Oh yeah.
Because right. even if GM and the rest of them go bankrupt and then reorganize and restructure and rehire, those 3 million aren't coming, or whatever the number is, aren't coming back to work. Because, you know, they always do this kind of garbage on the backs of working people.
Well, there's something else too, though. I'm looking at allowing the marketplace to decide the national policy. And here again, we have a case of the Republicans talking out of both sides of their mouth, but being hypocritical. If you say that you care about the strength of the country, and you know what follows after that.
Well, exactly. And, you know, this is the support the troops crowd. Has it not dawned on them that the little robots that they think are doing all the work in the automotive factories aren't going to build Hummers and Stryker vehicles and tanks by themselves?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course they're not thinking. But, you know, I'm thinking about companies, for instance, like Radio Shack. Radio Shack originally was a chain, a small chain of three electronics stores, two in Boston and one in New Haven.
Didn't know that.
Huh?
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I remember them. And then all of a sudden, Tandy bought them. Tandy had these sleepy little stores. They're called Tandy Leathercraft.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, they you could go in and buy a cowhide.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think of them as sleepy. And then all of a sudden, these Radio Shack stores are opening everywhere. You know, like Willimantic, Connecticut, which is where I was, New York. You know, and they're selling all this stuff. You know, most of it not hobbyist items. And they, I have followed them. They have been a company that has just lunged toward whatever cheap labor market that they can get to the fastest. So it's been a steady progression. You know, maybe it's Indonesia, maybe it's Taiwan, maybe
they'll pull up stakes and go where I don't know, a quarter inch mono plug is a half a penny cheaper.
Exactly. Because they, in a lot of cases, they will own the tooling. So, you know, they sign a contract with some company, and they make so many widgets, and then Radio Shack takes back their tooling and just moves it to another country. And that's why the products always look the same. But if you read the fine print, you see made here, made there, made the other place.
Right. Yeah, and that's and in many ways that was the model that was picked up. I didn't know that Radio Shack was really in the front end of this, but that was the model that was picked up in so-called global, the global job market.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because as soon as wages rise sufficiently in Bangladesh to make it less profitable for the captains of industry, well, by God, they'll pick up the factory bag and baggage and they'll move it to somewhere poorer.
Right.
It's what Greg LeRoy calls the sickening race to the bottom.
Right. Watch Africa.
Yeah.
We already have clothing coming in from Africa. And I have a thermostat. I bought a thermostat, like for your living room, that was made in Morocco. And this was a long time ago. I returned it, got a refund. But we have a lot of work to do. This is going to be a great enterprise.
And it could turn out to be an inspiring time to be alive. But it is.
I think so.
But Richard, it's going to be brutal on the front end, brother.
Front end meaning what?
Meaning going into this. I mean, it's the roll up. But right after you roll up your sleeves and you sort of look around at the mess and you're trying to figure out whether to get the mop, the dustpan, or the body bags.
Maybe all three.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, we have to go back. I was just thinking today that when did this Republican nightmare start? And it started in bits and pieces. I watched merger mania start during Johnson's administration. And if I go back to see what do we need to undo this time around, we got to go back to 1994. To Newt Gingrich.
Sure.
Because he was the guy who had tremendous power, and the way he got it was by holding all the money, all the campaign funds. He had this thing called GOPAC. Does this sound familiar?
Yep, I remember it well.
Okay, so he had big donors. Instead of donating to individual candidates, he got them to donate to GOPAC, and then he was holding the purse strings of all these people. It was like, you vote my way or I don't give you the money. And that's how the neocon thing started in my mind.
Well, yeah, by consolidating of funds. Hey, Richard, I got to roll on. I'm about to miss my mark with the archiving there for Ben. So.
Gotcha. Okay.
We'll talk again soon, all right?
Good night, everyone.
Take care. Richard calling from Northern California. We had Sandra from Southern California. And now it's time to get out. And I want to just take a moment and thank everybody for participating. This has been a wonderful Thursday evening. Hope you'll join me tomorrow night. We'll be the only thing live on the horn, so please be here. Thank you to John Fox, Peter Godbold, Ben Birch, to Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org. I'm not kidding when I say that they're the hardest working, bravest people that I know. And always, 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 RMR, Gina. It's all for you.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am worried. No, not worried about the standard things you might think I'm worried about. The fact that our economy is falling apart, the fact that it looks like it's in Congress, the Republicans are going to prevent a bailout of the auto industry, a bridge loan, so to speak, because, well, let's face it, they haven't attacked workers enough. And you know what? They're too energy efficient, two things that Republicans clearly don't like. We'll get into that. And no, you might think I'm worried about what's going on in Illinois or even Caroline Kennedy in New York. I'm not. but we'll talk about that too. Or you might think I'm worried about what damage Bush can do in his last 40 days. Sure, I'm worried about that. I'm also worried about pardons. But that's not the thing that's most on my mind right now. What's most on my mind as a resident of metropolitan Washington, D.C., is the inaugural crush. What's going to happen on Tuesday, January 20th, when I and, 4 million of my fellow American citizens all join together on the National Mall in the largest celebration in American history? What will probably be, I need to, I guess, look at some records here. I know it will be the largest public gathering in all of Washington, D.C.'s history. I suspect it may be the largest public gathering in all of American history. I'll do some research on that. Some 4 million people are expected to crowd in for Barack Obama's inaugural celebration, to hear his swearing in, to watch the parade. That is, if we can move, packed wall-to-wall human beings. And I'm concerned. I'm concerned about security. I'm concerned about transit. I'm concerned about medical needs for all of those people. I'm concerned about how all these people are going to relieve themselves if necessary. I'm concerned about whether or not there's enough money for this thing. Now, you know, I really hope that all my concerns are just Pollyanna. But it's better to be prepared than to, to cry about spilt milk later. So I would far rather that all of my concerns end up to be nothing, that all of the 93 or so law enforcement officials that are going to be there, I don't mean law enforcement officials, I mean law enforcement agencies, police officers from all across the country, not just Virginia and Maryland, but Pennsylvania, probably most of the East Coast. I hope that they're all going to be there. I hope that the Metro, D.C. Subway, will work to carry in the millions of us in and out. I'm very, very concerned about that. I hope it all goes out without a pinch and that everyone focuses on January 20th on Barack Hussein Obama. And, yes, he's going to use his middle name. We'll talk about that, too. By the way, it's something I support. I hope they'll all be focusing on our new president and his vision for the future and drawing America together in the historic day when at least a half-black man is elected president of the United States. I hope that is the focus. But I'm concerned, and mark my words, like I said, I'd rather be wrong in this prediction, but I'm concerned that the focus will not be on Obama, but on the crush, on the millions of people crowded into the Metro like sardines that, God forbid, would have an accident, on the fear.